Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com.
Everybody, I'm James Kleiman, the managing editor at HousingWire, and we are coming to you live from HousingWire The Gathering. And this is the final offer podcast studio that we're sitting in. We just want to give a big thanks to our sponsor, Vesta. I'm here with Mark Willis of KW Keller Williams, and we're going to be talking about leadership and really kind of how to manage the moment, because we're in a really difficult, unprecedented time right now. I think a lot of people in the space right now are looking for leadership, trying to figure out where do we go from here? How do I digest all of this confusing information that's coming out of the courts, coming out of press releases? Where are the brokers going? What are they doing? And so I wanted to ask you, I guess, first is, what is leadership in your view, given all of these big changes that are still in many ways yet to come? How do you navigate that as the leader of a massive real estate brokerage?
Well, I think, first of all, thank you, James. I appreciate the context. I think it's a very important question for right now. I think that we have to first define what leadership is. And so I believe that leadership is about teaching people how to think so that they do what they need to do, so they get what they want to get. And so in order to do that, you have to show up like a servant leader who understands what people want. And that happens, one relationship at a time. And then once we get a sense of how we can serve our entire agent community, we do that through training and Keller Williams University. We have, speaking specifically about the litigation and the settlement. Before the verdict was announced on Halloween, we began writing a course called Value Squared, which teaches agents how to articulate their value, how to show and demonstrate to consumers what their options are, and then how to provide that value. And so we are leaning in heavily on value. We are teaching people first how to think, because we believe that when people know how to think, they know how to pivot in the difficult moments. And our Keller Williams University is a robust curriculum for all levels: leadership, sales, agents that are building teams, agents that are building large expansion teams. We try to address every community, and we are making sure that we are on the leading edge of training. We also have a technology platform. We own proprietary technology. To my knowledge, we're the only real estate franchisor that owns its own proprietary platform for an agent to use in building their business. And it gives us the data, because the data is rich.
Sure.
And we have the value of not only having access to that data, but, being true to who we are, because we're a company that puts agents first in everything we do. And we are a company that serves the agents, protecting the agents' data by having proprietary technology.
How much does the training cover? There are so many scenarios that I think are possible now, and a lot of questions that I think are probably going to be coming from consumers, especially regarding the buy side, right, and the value proposition there. Could you speak a little bit more to the training and what kind of scenarios does it provide for? How do you train people to think when there are just so many unknowns?
Well, first of all, it's about sitting down with a seller and also sitting down with a buyer and explaining to them how this industry works, what their options are, and, you know, in terms of the level of service that the consumer requires or wants. And so we've gone into slowing down the process of an agent being able to explain what the options are and how to articulate every step so that buyers and sellers can make intelligent decisions. Mm.
And I imagine transparency is a big part of that, right? And then that was kind of central to the case that we're referencing here, right, Sitzer Burnett?
Well, you know, that's a great point, James. I've been in the industry quite a while. And this, I was just saying, this is my 40th year in the real estate industry, my 38th year in leadership. And I was around in 2005 when Trulia came out and Zillow got launched.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm sure you can recall when that level of transparency came out, there was a mindset among a bunch of realtors that the sky was falling because all of our data that had been protected through MLS, I mean, I started when we had MLS books and a TI Silent 700 terminal in our offices.
Yeah.
And, you know, we thought that the book was our gold. But when all that information became transparent as to what was on the market, our industry thrived. We literally did better than we'd ever done before in a transparent environment. And I think the opportunity ahead of us is every bit as great as the opportunity behind us.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think for good agents, real professionals who know their value, who know how to serve clients, who have, as you have, a servant leader mindset, who take the same approach to their client base, I think there's a lot of opportunity ahead. However, there are a lot of agents in the U.S. that don't provide that kind of value, and I do think they do bring down sort of a larger reputation, and it makes me wonder, how do you separate kind of the good from maybe those who don't have the professional mindset?
Well, I mean, when we look at the complaints that the plaintiffs were making in the Sitzer Burnett litigation, that there were really two core issues. One was transparency of buyer agent commissions.
Mm-hmm.
Transparency in terms of buyers and for sure sellers understanding how buyer's agents got paid.
Yeah.
And the second one was the concept of having sellers determine what the buyer's agent got paid. They wanted that to be between the buyer and the buyer's agent.
Right.
And I think that, you know, with respect to that, we are teaching our agents to function as fiduciaries representing the best interest of the people they serve. And we distinguish fiduciary from functionary. Functionary being the things like many of the things that I think AI we see being able to accomplish on an increasing basis. We are teaching how to be a true fiduciary to the people that you represent, providing a meaningful service. I mean, we help people buy homes, and we help people sell homes, and we do that for a reasonable fee. And now that transparency of the fee, I think it's a good thing for the industry.
Mm.
I've said over and over again, change is inevitable, growth is optional, and this is an opportunity for us to grow. This is an opportunity for us to get better, And I have a lot of faith in the great women and men in this industry to know how to adapt. We have a sense of what the new rules are, but we have to see all of that approved by the court.
Right.
And then, you know, we know that there are more steps in that process. I think right now, you know, the dust hasn't settled yet.
No, not by a long shot.
The dust hasn't settled. But I do know one thing. This industry will survive, and ultimately we will thrive.
In terms of what you communicate to the agents or the broker owners, I don't know who makes the decision, but are they telling the agents you should not be working with a seller and saying this is going to be a 5.5% commission, that we're only going to handle the sell side and whatever happens between the buyer and their representative is between the buyer and the representative? Or how are you navigating these questions?
First of all, I'm going to say pretty passionately that commissions are negotiable. They have always been negotiable. There is no number. There is no standard commission in our industry, and there hasn't been. I think that, you know, structurally, again, the competition and the market will determine what the fees are, and that's the way it's always been. Now we've got a new layer of transparency. I believe that will be good for the industry in the end. I also believe that once we know how this all settles, once the dust settles, we will learn best practices, and we will adapt to the new rules and continue to thrive.
There are a lot of analysts and folks who cover the brokerage industry who believe, I think it's Ryan Tomasello at KBW, who thinks that we're going to lose about 500,000 agents over the next couple of years. Commissions are going to drop in the billions, tens of billions. Do you think that's likely? Where do you see the future if some of these rules
get approved? I think that it's, again, we're going to have to see how this all shakes out. I think that there's been speculation of doom and gloom in this industry many times before.
Sure.
We saw when, you know, back, I mean, we could look at discount brokerage, and discount brokers have never been able to claim more than, you know, a certain percentage of the market, and the vast majority of real estate transactions have stayed in a commission that is not the value proposition. Is not the commission, it's the service offered. And I think price is what you pay. Warren Buffett says price is what you pay, value is what you get. I think we have to remember that this is about outperforming the fee. And I'm not going to operate from a sky is falling mentality. And yet, I think that, you know, there's a chance we could see some downward pressure on buyer commissions. Given that, there's a likelihood that it could have some impact on profit margins for brokerage companies. And yet, I don't know that. I don't think anybody knows that. And I'm certainly not going to operate in a world that says that the sky is falling. And I've heard that so many times over the course of my career that I have found that if you stay informed and you pay attention to what best practices are and you operate from a position of teaching best practices to your people, that will ultimately prevail. Mm. And we cannot forget this is a service industry. And we provide a very meaningful and valuable service. I can tell you that I think home buyers need to be represented. I think home sellers need to be represented. And I know the work that we do is meaningful, important work, and our goal should always be to outperform the fee.
There are going to be some buyers who likely say, I don't need representation, even if they probably should, even if it would probably be in their best interest. Certainly, you must have agents on the sell side who are dealing with unrepresented buyers. What kind of conversations are you hearing from them?
You know, what I've seen is that buyers are sort of pumping the brakes right now, and they're waiting to see how this all shakes out. Again, the new rules haven't even gone into effect yet.
Right. If it's approved, it would be mid-July, but there are a lot of other factors
that
might even push that off even a little further, right?
So, 100% correct.
Yeah, it's tough because no one really knows, right? I mean, you and I can sit here and we can talk about this until we're blue in the face, but it's impossible to predict the myriad of potential, you know, resolutions to this.
We can talk about a lot of scenarios, but until the dust settles and we know what best practices are, I think that would be a little reckless.
I've heard a lot of folks here, especially on the real estate brokerage side, talk a little bit more about dual licensing, about setting up companies that maybe have both LOs, mortgage loan officers, originators, and real estate agents. Is this something that you expect to see proliferate in the coming years?
Well, I think we've seen the evolution of core services and finding alternative revenue streams.
And you guys do great with title businesses.
That's what you're talking about, yes. I'm going to say that I think that we're probably all looking at our economic models and wanting to bolster our margins. And we're in a business, we're in an industry that's already a low-margin business.
Sure.
And so I think that, you know, as best practices evolve and show up on for people that are qualified, for whom it is the next logical step in the evolution of their companies to go provide additional services that bolster their revenue, I think that's a very good idea. But I don't think that it's a good idea to step out and provide those services without being in the place where it's the next logical step, given where you are in your business and your career.
And not everyone is equipped to do both.
And it right? shouldn't be reactionary. Mm. It should be an offense plan, not a defense plan.
What's the next evolution at Keller Williams?
Let me just say that Keller Williams has always been an innovator. I mean, we've always been.
I'll grant you that.
We've been rebels. We've been pioneers. We're kind of the. It's funny. We're going into our 41st year, and I can remember when we were Keller Who, and was a big part of driving the growth when we were Keller Who. And we have always won by innovating. And I think we've proven that with our Command CRM platform for agents building a career, a great business. And I think we have done that through our training and education. And you can see that we've got podcast of the Millionaire Real Estate Agents. We are teaching. And again, at our heart and soul, we're a training and consulting company. And we're focused on helping our people build careers worth having, businesses worth owning, aimed at lives worth living, experiences worth giving, and legacies worth leaving. And we will continue to innovate by learning from our most talented people that we serve, how to serve them at the highest level and innovate the products that they need to thrive.
And we're in a time now where we see a lot of agents jumping ship, moving to different companies. We've seen a lot of brokerages that are really trying to grow by a factor of five, right? And so you're both a recruiter and you're also trying to protect your turf, right? So what sort of value proposition do you offer to the agents that is different from an AXP or a Real or any number of competitors out there?
Okay, so I think that goes to a question. It's a structural question. is the industry bricks and mortar, or is it virtual? And let me say that it's both. Mm. And there are also hybrid options there. On the bricks and mortar side, you know, I thought it was interesting. I heard Glenn Sanford say earlier today, I heard him say, you know, that nothing replaces an in-person connection. We believe that our market centers offer a community with the best training calendars in the industry, the best coaching programs in the industry for every level agent, and based on where they are in their career trajectory. And we have always been about creating a community in our market centers with our bricks and mortar that provide the synergy of a community of people being together, learning together, growing together, and experiencing their careers together in a physical location. And I believe that that will always be valid. Now, I think we will see that there is a hybrid model that's emerging, which will include both virtual and bricks and mortar. And so we have been embracing that through online training and through our we just had a town hall. I mean, we called it an open house.
Town hall.
We called it open house, but we had an open house about the settlement, where we were able to broadcast to 80,000 people at one time. And so I think that we'll see that there's a combination of both moving forward, and we continue to strive to be the company of choice for real estate agents that want to build great careers and innovate training, technology, and products that help agents build great careers. And by the way, help our franchisees build the leading real estate offices in their local markets. And we've proven that, because when you look at the industry, you know, agent count drives volume. And we're in a high volume, low margin industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so traditionally, the real estate office that can get to the highest agent count wins the profitability game.
But they do also have to be productive agents.
Well, they have to be productive agents for sure. But the real estate company with the most productive agents wins the game.
Yep.
And I think our model has proven that we're very effective at doing that, and we will continue to innovate along those priorities.
Mark, I really appreciate you joining me today. It's been a pleasure getting to chat with
you.
And we're going to see Mark over the next couple of days here at Housing Wire, the gathering. And Mark, thanks so much. Hope you have a great time here in Paradise Valley, is it? I think it's Paradise Valley.
That's right. Thanks, James.
Thanks so much.
It's my honor. Appreciate this very much.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. We'll see you back here on Monday for more news and insight.